This morning, I chose the title, Mercy, Undeserved and Deserved. The dictionary defines mercy in the following ways. One, compassion or forbearance shown to enemies or offenders in one's power. Two, the quality of compassion. Three, an act of mercy administered or performed out of pity for a suffering person. And I'm sure we all hear about mercy killing. Children, close your ears. Okay? We often hear this. Be thankful for small mercies. Also, you're at the mercy of so and so and so. So mercy is a very well used word in the world, I would say. The Bible speaks of grace and mercy. Grace is giving us what we do not deserve. And Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So grace is a gift. It's a gift that God has given to us. You can't earn it. You work until you die and you cannot earn it. You can't do anything to merit it. Because one, we are sinners and we will say saved by grace. Now for mercy. Mercy, as the Bible says, is not giving us what we deserve. As I was doing a little illustration to the children, we go back to the story of Joseph as it continues. And in this story of Joseph, we are now at the point where Joseph's brothers are in his presence in Egypt, in the presence of this great man. They are at his mercy. They didn't even recognize their brother, whom years before they sold into slavery, going down into Egypt. Now things have come full circle. Joseph revealed himself to them, and knowing that they're probably going to be afraid that he'd get them back for what they did to him, which is what we probably would have done, he, Joseph, sought to calm their fears. And so he said, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" Remember, he was the beloved son of Jacob. And, you know, I'm sure from this story we all know showing favoritism to our children is not a good thing. You can favor one, but I think each child has his or her own great points and not so great points. And as parents, we love them and we show it equally. Even if in our hearts, we kind of favor Divya a little more than Ramya. You know, Ramya, I love you, you know that. But we don't show it outwardly by giving Divya what she wants and denying Ramya and, you know, things like that. We, as parents, present it, "You are my two children and I love you equally." But Jacob didn't do that, and that's why we have this mess. Okay? So Joseph, they didn't know what to do. They were scared, right? They were dismayed to be in his presence. They didn't know how to answer him. They were like, "Oh, no. This cannot be the Joseph that we sold into slavery." Joseph, in his greatness, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Figure that out. And now, listen to this. "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves." They should be angry with themselves. They should be distressed. They should be very afraid, okay? Because they did a very bad thing to their brother. He said to them, "For God, you didn't sell me. You didn't send me here. God sent me before you to preserve life. In other words, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Because God knew what was going to happen, that we were going to have a famine in Egypt. And he had to set the stage so his people who were called out, his Hebrew people, would be rescued when the time came. So he set the stage. He sent his man down there to prepare him, to prepare the way, just like Jesus Christ came to prepare the way for salvation. Joseph went to Egypt to prepare the way for the deliverance of his people from that famine. He tells them that the famine has been 2 years going and there are 5 years left. He said, again, it wasn't you who sent me. And now he has made preparations for them. He's sending them back to bring their father and their families and everybody. And he's going to relocate them to Goshen, that very fertile part where their cattle can graze and they can plant and they can live and they can be fruitful. And they can be the people that God has called them out to be. Now, God also prepared Joseph's heart so that he could give mercy to these undeserving people. This is undeserved mercy. But just as God has sent him there to prepare the way for them to come, he has prepared his heart so that when they came into his presence, Joseph didn't say, "Off with your heads." He said, "No, no, no." He said, "It is me, your brother. And don't worry, I'm not going to get you back. Okay? I'm not going to get you back for what you did to me. I am here because God set it up so I could be here." They, those brothers, like the thieves on the cross, are examples of undeserved mercy. They did something wrong for which they should rightly be punished. But they were extended mercy. That thief, when he cried out to Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That is saying, "Lord, have mercy on me." And he said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Another example of undeserved mercy. Many times, you know, people commit crimes and they are locked up and then they have their day in court. And the judge, we don't know why, said, "Okay, now this man should really get 10 years, you know." But the judge, whatever the judge was thinking, "I'm going to give you 2 years and I'm going to commute that sentence. And you're going to do some community service." And we are mad because he did something wrong. What was that judge thinking of commuting his sentence? Community service? Sending him back out in society? What was he thinking? But we are not the judge. And the judge is the one who has the last say. Just as God is the one who has the last say. Now, talk about deserved mercy. How many of us are deserving of mercy? No. So we fell in the earlier category of undeserved mercy. Now consider this Canaanite woman in our New Testament reading, our gospel reading. She deserved mercy because guess what? She is not responsible for her station in life. She was a woman of circumstance. She was born a Canaanite. She had nothing to do with that. The man born blind, he had nothing to do with that. It wasn't because he sinned or his parents sinned. So yes, he deserved mercy. Even in our world today, we stop to think, if I do this, can I get away with it? Can I go plead my cause? Can I go to the judge and plead my cause? And you said, maybe you have a chance. And your public defender say, take a deal. or your attorney that you pay say, take a deal. But God says, you ask and you shall receive. You ask for the mercy. Even though others may express outrage. Even in Exodus 33:9, and Paul brought it back to Romans 9, the Lord said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So mercy and compassion belongs to God. Or in this case, in our world, belongs to the judge who sits right there at the bench and has the final say. We all fall in one of both categories, deserved and undeserved. I'm here to tell you today that as the Apostle Paul admonished the people in the church at Rome, he said, great, God is great, and God will give mercy, and God will abundantly pardon. He said, he has not abandoned you. God has not abandoned you. Great is God's faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. His mercies are new every morning. Jesus took our place on the cross of Calvary. He said, there's a song that says, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There at Calvary, my soul found liberty. At Calvary, God will grant mercy to those who ask. So we are not deserving of his mercy, but he is merciful. He has called us to do whatever he asks us to do. He has called us to extend mercy to those who need mercy. And in Jude it says, let us remember to show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Sometimes we see our brothers and sisters who are not strong in the faith. They have doubts. They have questions. Let us be patient. Let us encourage them. Let us keep showing them that God is merciful, that God will take us where we are. He'll meet us where we are at, because he has always done that. Yes, there was mercy, there was great. It was great because God, Christ, paid the price for us on Calvary so that we can experience that grace and we can look to him for mercy. God is merciful. Call out to him. His unwavering love will help us through whatever we are going through. Many times we hurt one another. Let us stop to think, am I deserving of God's mercy? And we are going to answer no, because we are not. But he gave it to us anyway. So who are we to deny mercy? Who are we to deny forgiveness? Forgiveness means saying, I forgive you. And it's about your relationship with the Lord, not necessarily with the person. Sometimes people hurt you and they don't ask you for forgiveness. But because you want to be in right relationship with God, you put it to him and let him take care of that individual. So today, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are watching online, just remember, mercy there was great. God says, call unto me. He says, I will abundantly pardon. He said, my grace is sufficient. And he said, I will extend mercy to those I choose to extend mercy. Put yourself in the position. Ask him for his mercy, because he will not deny that of you. Let us remember, we are all sinners saved by grace, undeserving of his mercy. But he did not treat us as our sin deserves. He lay open the gate and the way to salvation when he sent his son to die on the cross. Praise the Lord.